This morning, our text is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him again, "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Do you remember what we talked about last week? Mountaintop experience, right? What did God say in that mountaintop to the disciples? There was Moses, there was Elijah, and God said, listen to Jesus, listen to him. I think Coach Kramer did a wonderful job in portraying, right? Yes. I could not have explained it better. We may get out earlier today. But all the voices, right, distracting us, telling us what to do, telling us who we are, telling us even what we need, when God said, listen to Jesus. So today, we find Jesus in a very different setting than where he was last week in the mountaintops. In today's story, after being baptized, it was revealed that Jesus is God's beloved Son. Remember that? He got baptized, the Holy Spirit came in the shape of a dove, descended on him, and told Jesus, "You are my beloved." The Spirit leads him to the wilderness where he was tested for 40 days. And guess why we're talking about this? What season are we in? Did you notice the purple pyramids? Season of Lent. We're for 40 days. What do? We give something up? We pick on something? We do something different, right? Why do we do that? I'll tell you why we do that. As I was preparing for my children's chapel for Ash Wednesday, which is last Wednesday, I came across a sentence in one of the children's Bibles reflecting on today's story, the account of Jesus being tested in the wilderness. It said, Jesus prayed and connected with God, right? Why do we practice Lent? We're centering ourselves, right? We're putting priority, right? We give something up because we put priority over that usually, but during the season of Lent, we give that up so that we can take priority over who? God, right? We're centering ourselves, right? So Jesus went and Jesus prayed and connected with God. But it was the second I wouldn't say a sentence, but a word that sort of caught my attention. The sentence went on to say, Jesus prayed and connected with God and with himself. With himself. That simple line stayed with me. We know from the scripture that Jesus had close relationship with God. Jesus was connected with God. But what we often don't hear a lot of times is Jesus' identity, Jesus' character, Jesus' core values. Jesus was not only connected to God, but that he had a clear understanding of who he was. He knew his identity. And because he knew his purpose, what his life was about to be or about, he was able to maintain his integrity even under the most severe circumstances. He had a goal in mind, and he lived out his life with purpose. Do you know what that purpose was? What is the purpose of the cross? To forgive us, to save us. I believe our identity guides our actions. I believe that's what guided Jesus too. Jesus knew who he was and what he was supposed to do here on earth. So he didn't just go out and did whatever he wanted. He did it with intention. He heard that voice from God saying, "You are my beloved son." Right? And I believe our identity also guides our actions. It shapes our priorities and gives direction to our lives. When we know who we are and whose we are, we're less likely to be swayed by every voices, every desires, fears, or temptation that comes our way. I think Simon Sinek, the author of the book, Start With Why, puts it the best when he says, "Knowing your why determines your what." Meaning, understanding your why helps you to determine what you are going to do with your life. And Jesus reveals that in the story, not just about what to do when faced with temptation, but Jesus also shows who he is in these story in this scripture. After 40 days of fasting, Jesus was hungry, physically weak, and humanly vulnerable, right? First and foremost, why was he there? Did he go to the wilderness just because he wanted to? Just because he felt like it? No. From the get-go, he went because he was led by the Spirit. He was simply following God. Right? He didn't go because he wanted to go camping or because he wanted to check out the wilderness or because he wanted something other than God. He went because all he was doing was following where God was leading him. And that's who he is. He does everything that God commands. The tempter comes at a point of need. And the devil says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." The first temptation is about appetite, meeting a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. How often does our struggles with life the wilderness expose our cravings, cravings for comfort, recognition, security, control. I feel like these days we would just about do anything, whatever it takes, to have control, to have comfort, to be recognized, to find security. But Jesus answers with a scripture. He reminds us, people shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And it's this understanding that we're not striving for things to find comfort, to find security, to find recognition, to find control. No, we don't rely on these things. What we rely on is the promise that God makes, right? That God speaks. What does God speak about us? That we are children of God, that we are loved, right? That we are cared for. All the provisions, who does it come from? God, right? Look at the lilies. Look at the sparrows. How much more than would God be attentive to us, to care for us, right? Where does our identity, where does our security come from? Not because of the stuff that we have, not because of who we are in the world, right? But of the person who God tells us, who God calls us to be, right? That we are, in truth, created in the image of God, and that we are the children of God, right? That's where our security, our confidence comes from. But again, these are the words that sustain Jesus, the words that proceeds from the mouth of God. The wilderness reveals that what feeds us, bread sustains the body, but the word sustains the soul. Our spiritual journey is sustained not by a physical material, but by the word of God. Twice the enemy says, if you are the Son of God, the temptation is not just about hunger. It's about identity. Jesus had just heard from his baptism, what? This is my beloved son. Now in the wilderness, their identity is challenged. How many times have we thought in the midst of our own wilderness experience, how many times did we thought in our struggles that if you are really loved, why are you here? Why are you struggling? Or if you are called, why is this hard? Or if you belong to God, why does it feel empty? The wilderness will test what we believe about who we are. But look how Jesus responds. Jesus does not perform to prove himself. He stands on what the Father already said. We stand on what has already been told to us, right? And then the final temptation is about power. All these kingdoms I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. Shortcuts. Glory without suffering. A crown without a cross. But Jesus responds, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The wilderness clarifies worship. It reveals who or what we bow to when everything else is stripped away. In comfort, it is easy for us to be loyal. We can pretend loyalty and comfort, but it is in the wilderness, it is in the struggles of our lives that our allegiance becomes clear. After the third temptation, scripture says, then the devil left him, and behold, angel came and ministered to him. It's a reminder, and it's the good news, that the wilderness does not last forever. Temptation does not last forever. Testing is not permanent. God sends strength. God sends help. God sends renewal. All that to share, Jesus was able to fend off the temptations because he was clear about his identity. He knew what voice mattered and was relevant to his life because he knew he was a child, a son of God. We also been told, right, who we need to be listening to, right? What did God say about us? Listen to Jesus, not Moses, not Elijah, not the powers of this world, but to Jesus. Can you guess why? Because we are also his children. Children listen to their parents. Well, we hope they do. It's not always the case, is it? But ideally, right? God is our Father. God is the one who leads our life because God created us. The only way we can live our life with purpose, the only way we can achieve that is to connect with our Creator. Now, I want to point something out. And this, I've noticed a lot happening. So I just want to point out, Jesus knew the scriptures, but the one who also quoted scripture was who? The devil. The devil also knew the scriptures. And what I want to point out and highlight to you is, there are times where scriptures can be misused. And the way that you find out if it is being misused a lot is this. Scripture for Jesus was never used to self-promote himself. He quoted scripture in giving, right? In doing for somebody else, right? He could have very well, the scripture says, fall down and God will save you, right? Jump off from that high place and God will save you, right? And he could have done that and he could have proven himself because it wasn't scripture. But no, scripture was never meant to be used to self-promote ourselves or himself. It was to show not our will for ourselves, but God's will for others, for everybody. And I want you to hear the difference, right? Because we love to read scripture sometimes, and we love to think, that's about me, oh, I'm going to be great. Oh, I'm going to win. Oh, I'm going to. I mean, even the scripture, I think one that's misused commonly is, I can do all things through God who gives me strength. Right? But if you look at the context of that scripture, it's not about just winning. It's about, even when I am losing, even when I am struggling, even when I am not having a good day, I can do all things through God who gives me strength. Do you see here the subtle difference there? And again, Jesus, the one we listen, the one that we follow, right, has always been about giving himself up for others. And so I want to remind you what my professor had taught me right from the get-go when we were learning the scriptures. Even before we opened the text, he said, scripture is never meant to be used to attack somebody. It is a sword that was never meant to be pointed at somebody else. The word of God is life-giving. It builds up. It gives hope. It gives faith. It gives instructions on how to love better, not worse. And there's this common theme that I want you all to pay attention to. Oftentimes, people leave out the first two chapters in Genesis and the last two chapters of Revelation. What I mean by that is people get so hung up, so focused on the fall and the terrible events that goes on in Revelations about scary natural disasters and beasts coming up and all of that scary stuff. And people get hung up there without realizing that in the beginning, God created to be what? Good. And in Revelations, it doesn't end with the tragedy. Do you know how our story ends? It ends in victory. It ends where we end up in a place where there is no more weeping and gnashing of teeth, where there is no more pain and no more suffering, and that we will be with God forever. That's the will of God. Everything in between, human beings messed up on. But the ultimate goal, the ultimate intention, the original will of God was for us to all prosper. And so may you, as you look and focus on scripture, may you see the heart of God. The heart of God that wants everyone to live an abundant life. For that is what Jesus died for. So that we will stop punishing ourselves from our sin, but believe that we have been forgiven and move forward with the life that God has made us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.